morning on this Getaway Friday, July the 21st, 2023. How about that? 12 and a half minutes past the hour here. You're tuned in to Over the Back Fence here on WGH Radio, heard live every Friday morning, 9:10 a.m. until 10 a.m., repeated on Wednesday and Thursday, 3:10 to 4 p.m., and Sunday, 8:15 a.m. until 10 a.m. Get it on the website, wwgh1071.com, first show under Program Archives, or go to the Facebook page. It is on there, usually within 24 hours of the show airing. Pastor Whitaker, here we are, another Friday.
Good morning. How are you, Scott?
Doing great.
Great, beautiful day out there today. Boy, we had some storms last night, didn't we?
We did, but you know what was interesting? I was out in that looking at some buildings in downtown Marion that they're renovating, and it got very dark, and it did rain for a period of time, but that was pretty much it. I mean, and somebody called in this morning and said their rain gauge, not a whole lot of rain.
Yeah, you know, we got it at Prospect, believe me. We had, matter of fact, as most of you know, we've been doing Bible school this week, and we have two different buildings we're shuffling back and forth to, and we had to hold the older group in one building till the storm was over, because right across from the church, the neighbor had a huge limb come out of a tree and messed his car up pretty bad, and lightning was cracking, and it was, and you know, the really sad thing, we had a food truck there last night. Everyone was going to get an ice cream cone at the end of Bible school, and there's just no way they could be outside and do that, so the ice cream cones will be there tonight.
There you go.
So anyway, the kids have been having a great time. It's been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week.
Yeah. You know, I was down there. What surprised me last night was the Third Thursday crowd in Marion is very big, but I don't know if it impacts the businesses or not, because what I noticed was there were so many outside vendors. That seemed to be where people were, and the concert going on in Founders Park. That seemed to be where the majority of people were. So, I mean, I hope it helps downtown businesses, but I don't know if it does or not. Hopefully.
Well, hopefully. I'm really excited when I drive and I see, you know, they're redoing another office building. We were just talking about that. But it's nice to see what's being done in Marion. And I wish that even our small little local outlying towns would get on board with this stuff. I know LaRue's been trying. And, of course, right in the middle of them doing everything they're doing, they lost had a building burned down in the middle of town. Well, he didn't. It gutted it, and the guy never had it insured, and now it's just sitting there, and it's like, what are you going to do with it? But anyway, it's kind of nice. I'm a renovator. I like to see things renovated rather than torn down and new put in.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way. I think one of the things in downtown Marion for a long time that was an issue is a lot of these buildings became eyesores because no renovation was done. And I think a lot of people did want them torn down because they were structurally in such bad shape. And I don't know what's going to happen with some of those buildings. I don't know how bad structurally they are inside. Some are pretty bad, I would think. Now, the ones I was in, I mean, the Main Street Professional Building has been used for years. I don't think there's ever been a time where it was vacant. So, it's structurally, it's good.
Right.
I went over to where the Grand Opera House used to be, and that's always been used by the Elks. It's never been empty. So, it's still structurally good. But, boy, there's some buildings down there. I mean, I worked in a radio station years ago that was on Church Street, and the ceiling caved in while we were there because it was just structurally nobody had used the top floors for years, and it was a mess.
And away it went.
And away it went.
Yeah. Hey, you know, something I wanted to talk about a little bit today, several things actually, but one of the things I thought we'd kind of bounce around a little bit, it's interesting to me, and I don't understand. Let's talk a little bit about busyness. And the reason I say that is, and what makes us so busy, we have Bible school this week, and Bible school's been great. We're doing a food truck theme, and it's just been a blast. The kids are having a good time, very well attended. But it surprises me that I see so many parents that throughout the year will tell me, well, you know, my kids need to be in something structured like Sunday school. They need to be in church. And honestly, whether you're a person that fully believes in Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, or whether you're a person that is just on the fringes of that, maybe, you know, people would have to admit that kids that are brought up in that structure of those values, it's beneficial. Okay. Now it's not something that is going to solve all your problems. I mean, we still have to be parents. We still have to do all those things. But the truth is that it's good for you. So I don't understand, you know, parents all year long say, I want to bring my kids to this, bring them to that. And then you'll have a Bible school. And the very parents that will say these things all year long, we wanted to go do this, and they're doing stuff that they normally do all the time anyway. So I guess is what I'm talking about is, how busy are you? And at what point does something become important enough to you, no matter what it is, that you're willing to set aside your daily routine to do it?
Well, I think a lot of things people do are for other people. I think, and some people I don't even think subconsciously realize that's what they're doing, is that they go somewhere or do something because somebody asks them to do it, and they want to please that person, so they do it.
Yeah, you can really get caught in a tailspin pleasing people.
Yeah.
I probably have been guilty of that. I know Frank's with us today. Good morning, Frank Robinson is here. And Frank's been guilty of that. I can tell you that because I know him for years. I bet you've done it.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that I have a daughter that does it so much that she is just in perpetual motion. And she is always, always helping anyone and everyone. And I think that we can get to a point where it's detrimental rather than beneficial. What do you think?
Oh, I absolutely think that's true. And I think the funny thing is a lot of times it weighs on your personality, and you get a little harder personality and a little shorter with people. And a lot of times in the beginning, when somebody asks you to go somewhere, you're willing to try it out because it's new experience. Why not? Let's go see what it's like. But then the person thinks you liked it. Well, maybe you really didn't like it all that much, but it's a friend of yours, so you do it again. And then you end up doing it to people please, and it kind of hardens you not only to the event, but it hardens you to the person. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I hope that when it comes to at least our church in Prospect Community Christian, that most people, when they come, they do find it a pleasant experience, and they like the people, and it's a good thing, and they want to come back, and they like the things they plug their kids into. But I don't think that I would ever want anyone to come there just to please me or because I asked them and they're afraid they'd hurt my feelings, because that never ends well. You need to be doing something you want to do, you want to believe in, you want to be there, and I hope that's it. If you have a whole group full of disgruntled people that really don't want to be somewhere, that's really no fun. But I think that we can get caught up just saying yes.
Well, I don't think there's any two people alive who like exactly the same things. So I don't know how you continue that on. I think it becomes very rough.
Well, you know, it's really interesting in a church. When we were starting years ago, I think we're in our 17th year. And I used to, people would, I'd really like this or I'd really like that. And you'd go out of your way to try and please people. And you had to figure out that, you know what, we're going to do what we do, and they'll like it or they don't. Because if you get caught chasing your tail, it's horrible trying to please everybody because you can't. When you stop doing one thing to do something else to please someone, the very thing you did to stop, someone else liked, and now they're upset. Oh, that's just crazy. But you know something? You pointed to something out a minute ago about when you're constantly trying to please people and you get frustrated and maybe... I, by nature, when it comes to people, am pleasant. I like people. I enjoy greeting people. I hope that I come across that way. But when I start getting really busy and just going in 10 directions, which is more often than I'd like, I notice I get short-tempered. People say, boy, you okay? Boy, you were really snippy with that person. Or, Dad, my girls are great. Dad, you realize you cut that person off, you know, verbally. And you don't realize it, but you've just got so many things going that your mind's just going from thing to thing to thing. And, man, I think we just got a real, real back.
Well, I've always said, I think the thing that people most want in life is not necessarily people to disagree with them, not even necessarily people to agree with them. They just want to be heard. because most people don't have the time to listen to people. Most people do cut people off to some degree because they'll cut them off to tell them why they're wrong. You know, and it's sad because I think sometimes people just want to talk to be heard. They just want to hear you say, I understand.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a... I wish that I had more time with some of the people because everyone wants to catch me at the church door when they leave, which is great, and I love talking to everyone. But I've got to bring each conversation to kind of an abrupt end because there's always someone behind them. They want to have a few words to say too, and you know that. But you're right. I think that everybody really does. They just want to be heard once in a while. But back to this busyness, and some of the busyness we consider fun things. One thing that I and we're all different, like you said, we all have different likes and we're different. One thing that I scratch my head on because I'm not this way, and it's not that it's a bad way, but I'm not this way. I see people that constantly every weekend go somewhere, and they go somewhere away, maybe out of town or to a venue, or they travel, or they go on. You know, they're excuse me, they're constantly going, and I'm thinking, how do you keep up with yourself doing that? I'll tell you, sometimes, you ever heard someone say, I had to get home from vacation so I could rest, that kind of a thing, and it's kind of like that, it takes money, it takes time, it takes, how do you, to me, that's not restful.
No, and I'm not sure why you need that. Well, that's one of the things that's always puzzling to me, is why do you need to do that? Are you afraid that if you sat home with the person, it'd be boring? I don't know. I'm not sure what that is.
I like, you know, I've said this on the show before. I love that commercial on TV where the guy says, you know, going to a ball game, 50 cents for popcorn, time with dad, priceless. I think people sometimes are afraid of that. You know, and I realize people spend time with their kids when they go places and do things. But, good point. Are they afraid to be home and just spend time and enjoy someone else's company without having to have an activity to do all the time?
Well, it doesn't look as happy, I guess. Because you really can't post a picture or of yourself sitting on a couch.
Social media caused
it. Is it? Well, I'll tell you, one of the things, and this was a great revelation to me this past week about social media, because I've seen it several times, but this week it was a little stark. And obviously I'm not going to say whose social media I saw this on, but there was a kid. The person was not the kid. It was the parent of the kid. Was on social media, and the kid was competing at an event. And before the event even started, the parent was posting how well the kid was going to do at the event. And I assume the kid is very talented. I have no doubts about that. But the kid did not end up doing nearly as well as the parent was putting
out
there. Now
he got a backpedal.
Well, yeah, and that's what happened in the end. The backpedaling came in. And even at one point, there was an event during the week in which the kid was against another kid and was hurt by that other kid. And the parent took to social media to slam the other kid. And I don't know, I'm not a parent, but I was looking at that. And I'm not saying any of these people are bad at all. And I'm sure that's gone on for years. Of course you want your kids to do the best they can. Of course you cheer for your kids. Of course you don't want your kids hurt by other people. But the difference is social media. That you, now, your kid can read what you put up there, what your expectation was for them. And also that kid who you attacked may also be able to see that. And I, you know, if you saw somebody else's parent going after another kid who they didn't even know just on the street, you would think that was a horrible parent. But on social media, it's acceptable.
Yeah, that's kind of odd. You know, there was a... These expectations, I think, get a little out of hand. I know of a young lady whose parents pushed her and pushed her and pushed her and pushed her and pushed her. Matter of fact, they had this young lady convinced that she was going to be, honestly convinced that she was going to be a four-sport athlete at the Ohio State University. And this girl believed it. She walked around school telling everybody that. And she was going to be, and it inflated her. It inflated her opinion of herself. She became degrading to other players. It got totally out of hand. And you know what happened? She ended up going to a D3 school, and not even playing the first year of ball at a D3 school in one sport. And now what happens to that child? And there's your problem. Were you going
to
say something?
Well, I was just thinking, to me, it's not... See, that's the whole thing. It's the child. Because I'm sure the parent doesn't regret posting that. I'm sure that the... Because a lot of times the defense of the person will come from the parent or the spouse. Oh, no, that doesn't... You know, that's good. It doesn't matter at all. But it's the kid that has to see that they've fallen short. And the kid's never going to admit to you, oh, yeah, that really bothered me. Well, no, they're not going to say that. They've already not lived up to the expectation that I think they probably wanted, so it's already tough for them to begin with. But now to look back on what your parent was expecting, you know, just to come in and say, well, I love you anyway, I don't think sweeps that all under the rug.
No. And I one thing I've seen is the importance of balancing that time with going away and the business and doing the events with that time of character building at home. And to give you an example of that, I was talking to a person that I won't mention name because everybody would know they're very involved in athletics. Their family has an athletic history and they still are very, very athletic. And we were talking one day and this lady told me, she said, you know, one thing that has really been hard on my kids, she said, in high school, you know, they were clear at the top. Everyone knew who they were. They were held up as great athletes. They were, you know, they lived for it. They breathed it every day. And they got out of high school, and all of a sudden, they weren't that number one person anymore. They weren't the best in the school. They weren't, all that just, it was like their whole platform dropped out from under them. And they struggled. They struggled horribly with it. They struggled, every part of their body, every part of their mind, every part of their being struggled with this fact that they went from being completely held up as an icon and important and look, here they come, let's celebrate them coming down the hallway, to somebody that basically was irrelevant in their mind. And I think that if you balance that time, I think it's great. If your kids are love sports and you're in it and you do it, then that's great. If that's something you do as a family and they do, I have no problem with that. But take that time too, and I know several families that do this very well. They also have that time where it's just mom and dad and one kid or two kids or the kids out doing simple things together. Picking blackberries. I mean, that sounds silly, but you know, picking blackberries or looking for one family I know goes out and hunts arrowheads together, and it gives them family time together, and they talk, and that's when character gets built. Everyone says that sports gives you character. Let me tell you something. If you've been on any sports fields lately with kids, we just had one about 3 or 4 weeks ago. The police had to be called on the parents. And a little kid, you ready for this? Coach pitch game. Now, come on. You understand what I mean? And that's not going to build character.
But what is that? Well, what is that about the generation of parents right now that is causing that?
I think they're just dissatisfied with life, with their relationships in many cases, and they're living vicariously through their kids. I mean, they're when you know, look at what my kid's doing, and it's something they can't do anymore, or something they never could do, and could that be part of it?
Well, I don't know. I saw at the fair a few weeks ago, you know, because those are all prizes as well. People get ribbons, people get things, and animals are sold. And it was fascinating to me to watch the people who did not win anything, who, again, maybe there was an expectation that they would by their parents. They're highly depressed when they don't do very well.
Let me explain some of that with a... I've been a 4-H advisor for, I don't know, 20 years or so. Worked with kids forever. I was an advisor for my own kids. Raised them in 4-H with animals. And there's some kids work very hard with their animals all the time. They can't afford to go out and spend an astronomical amount of money on a ringer. But some families buy the ringer every year, and their kids are expected to win, and they do all these. They do the same thing with livestock that people do that go way overboard in athletics and can with travel ball. And they go to all these jackpot shows and different things. Well, here's the thing. When those kids that worked really hard go in, they're still hoping in the back of their mind, even though they couldn't do all those things. Look, I worked really hard with my animal. I did the best that I can do. I hope I get recognized for it. That's their hope. Then the other kids come in. And then what happens is you have judges. And the judges are the same judges these kids have seen in jackpot shows. The families know each other. There's always that familial thing. Plus, the animal is a great animal. It didn't have, most of the time, it costs more than they'll ever get out of the animal. Way more up front. So you're almost buying that place. And then these kids that worked really hard, it does hurt. And I remember, and then there's also... unfortunately, there's dishonesty in it too. There's dishonesty sometimes in the showman's side of it, or what people will do. I've seen people go out and buy an animal 3 days before the fair and bring it to the fair, and they've tried to curb a lot of that through pictures and tattoos. There's always a way around it, but my kids asked me one time. My daughter was one of those crying one day, and said how can they cheat like that and not care? And I told her, I said, honey, I said, the difference is, I said, you were raised differently. And you know that it's about your hard work and what you do and doing what's right and doing what's honest. And I said, to them, it's about the ribbon. And people will pay thousands of dollars for a trophy. And if that's what they need to pump up their ego, it's not gonna give them dividends down the road. You just... let your character build on your hard work, and you take pride in hard work and what you do. And it did. I think my kids had a great attitude with it. Their kids go in with a great attitude with it. They still show livestock. They do the best they can with what they have. And sometimes some of my grandkids have been very blessed with doing very well at the fair. But it's been through hard work.
Well, but I think in a lot of cases, a lot of people will go in 1 year and they'll win something. And I'm not saying they win everything, and I'm not saying they win first prize, but they win something. And then the next year, they win nothing. And that is very depressing. Now, what's interesting to me is did they really put the time in? Now, if you can say you put the time in and you did the work and your parents weren't doing it, well then... you should be happy with what you did, because you did the best you could with what you had. But if you honestly can't say that, well, you know, I'm sorry that you're sad, but, you know, should have done a little more. Because it does go the other way. Yes, there are some ringers, and yes, there are some things, but there are also some kids that start way back in March who many weekends are too busy doing things with other people to go do the things that they need to do, and they get to that week before, and then they got to really, oh my gosh, what do I need to do? And they go almost into a panic.
Well, and that's, I blame a lot of that on the parents. You know, either we struggle with that. My wife's our organizational advisor for our club, and she has to tell some of these families, look, you're either going to be in 4-H or you're going to be in the other, because there's a certain amount of things you've got to meet. There's times you have so many meetings you have to make, and I'm not just going to sign off on you so you can go to the fair and show an animal. And it all comes back to, what is the parent going to do with you and tell you it's got to be done? And are they going to make you toe the line and be responsible with the obligation that you have made to do? You know, some of these fairs, what they've done that's pretty neat, I think, is they have like a lottery, and they'll go out and buy, say, a whole group of calves, and then you draw a number, and whatever calf that is, you take it home. I like what they do with the turkeys and the market turkeys and chickens. You just go pick them up. It's how you work. But then, most people don't realize this, but like in the club calf business, they call it. It's a multi-million dollar industry. And club calves, what that means is those are calves that are shown in clubs, 4-H clubs, showing clubs. They go to 4-H. And these are the yearling calves that they buy that they will then take to the fair the following year as a two-year-old steer. And some of those club calves go for thousands of dollars. And so the people, it's adults that are breeding those and they're the ones making the money and building this business, and it's an unbelievable business. But they do the same thing with sheep. They do the same thing with goats. You know, I know of a people that are deeply involved in the process of, I would just say, you wouldn't think they'd be in this business because they work with kids so much, but like just goats, a baby goat, they'll sell a baby goat for $800 for a kid to the kid to take to the fair. Well, there's no way he's going to get $800 out of that, but you know what he might get? He might get that grand champion plaque. And it's up to the parents to reel it back and see, you know what, it's enough, enough. Let's teach our kids to be responsible. Go out there, make sure their animal's fed every day, check it over, make sure that the animal knows them, is comfortable with them, you know, all those things. And let's quit the I don't know. I think that it all comes back to, why are we building our kids up with something that's not got a solid base?
Well, it all comes back to the question then again of the parent. Is the parent too busy trying to make themselves happy so they are not policing the child during these events?
Say that again.
If the parent is too busy, let's say the parent's depressed. So the parent has to make themselves happy by being on the go, doing things, doing this. They can't just be sitting on the couch on the weekend. Do they have enough time to pay attention to the child to make sure that they are doing their responsibilities, that they are doing their things?
Once again, it comes back to the parent. You know, Scott, all this, so much of what we're talking about here is personal responsibility. You realize that. And personal responsibility is something that we don't seem to have a lot of these days. Everyone wants to deflect. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday in the insurance business. We were talking about that, how people always want to deflect the responsibility away from what they did or they didn't have. You know, somebody goes out and they want to buy the cheapest policy they can with the highest deductible they can and minimum coverages, and then something happens and they say, why didn't you sell me something better? Well, I tried. But you know what I mean? And nobody seems to want to take personal responsibility for their choices and what they do. We got to start doing that.
But I don't know how you make people do it, because I think we're in such a world where depression is high for whatever reason. People, and it's not even based in jobs and it's not even that what I'm seeing. It's just people are just simply unhappy. They feel like their life is not what it should be.
I agree. And let me tell you something. You are talking to Pastor Steve, by the way, and I am a pastor, and I'll tell you that. I believe that all of us have an empty spot in us that can only be filled by God, and I think that the more godless our society becomes, the more depressed we are. You can follow the trend. The farther we walk away from God, the more depression there is, the more people is that are dissatisfied, they don't know what they're doing. I believe that, and it's true, it doesn't matter whether I believe it or not, but I believe God made every one of us individually, and he made us with a purpose, and that purpose is not being fulfilled because people don't want anything to do with God, and it's just a vicious cycle. Another thing, Scott, I think is that if I oversleep, if I lay in bed till 9 o'clock, that's oversleeping. If I lay in bed till 9, I'm depressed most of the day. I'm tired. I just don't feel like doing anything. We have become a society that we're not busy. We don't have plans. We don't have goals. You've got to have things that you're reaching for. If you're going to, you're going to be depressed if you don't have anything to reach for. If you just sit around in the doldrums and humdrum, and have you ever watched daytime television? I mean, I don't care if you're watching soaps or what you're watching or the talk shows. Oh, that stuff would. I have to laugh, you know, you watch it sometimes. No wonder you come home from work and your spouse is ready to rip your head off. They've been watching it all day long. And then if you turn on the news, oh my word, is it depressing. Horribly, horribly depressing. Murders, 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 it's just, we're surrounding ourselves with depressing things and saying, gee, why is everyone so depressed?
Well, and I brought this up, I don't know if I brought it up on this show, but, you know, it comes back, there is something about social media that has changed the whole game of the world we live in, because as I said, like in this particular case, where, hey, we want our kid to do well, we think he's going to do well, and then all of a sudden, it's he doesn't. Well, you've already put that out there to so many people. Why not just have that personal conversation and not broadcast that to everybody? Because then you have to retract. Your kid has to see the retraction. It's just, it's not a pleasant thing to do.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's, I don't know.
Does anybody talk to anybody anymore? This is what I've always said about relationships and marriages. When somebody starts praising their person on social media all the time, I know the divorce or the relationship's about to end, because why wouldn't you just go tell the person? You know, you see them. Now, I understand praising friends. I understand praising colleagues, because they're not in your life all the time. So I get that. But when it's somebody who you were married to, I think you're seeing them daily. You can't go tell them. You have to write it out. I don't understand that. That's very weird.
I think that
to me.
Sometimes people are excited and they just want to share that I just really love my wife. I have a great wife and I'm just so excited. I want everyone to know it. I want to shout it from the mountaintops, so to speak. And today, the way we shout from the mountaintops is a thing called social media. I can overlook that a little bit, a lot. Actually, I probably have taken part in that quite a bit myself, but I think that we have to start just being a little more real. Does that make sense?
Well, I just think that people if we're shouting it from the mountaintop, do we think people don't know that you love your spouse or you love who you're around?
I see.
That's
point.
The thing that's, because I might not like a coworker, and that's why I feel a coworker. Hey, you know what? Maybe I do need to praise them. And
have we cheapened things a little bit? Have we cheapened devotion feelings? Have we cheapened relationships?
Well, what about thanking people too? I find that one funny too, when it's a spouse or when it's a relationship, because if somebody brings. Like, you have brought me things several times. Now, a lot of times I will thank you on Facebook, because we're colleagues, friends. That's okay, because we're not living in the same house seeing each other every day. But I would think it odd if a relationship of mine brought me something and I felt the need that I had to thank them for that act in front of other people. Why not thanking them in person? Why isn't that good enough?
Yeah, maybe you better be doing both.
Do both.
It's kind of like the guy that someone will come up and say, oh, your wife just talks so wonderfully about you all the time. And I'm thinking, really? I wish she'd do it at home.
Well, you know what? Yeah, well, you know what? To me, on social media
case,
or other
way.
Places, well, to me, what that comes off as on social media is you're showing me how great a person this is. And I'm wondering in myself, do you need convincing how great a person this is?
Yeah, I guess.
Because I don't need to be convinced.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. We live in such a different time. But I would challenge people to, even if you're caught up in this crazy rat race we call our society today, find something little and set a small goal. When you've accomplished that, go to another one and begin to make your lives a little more goal-oriented. Seek out, God's there, and he's just that relationship with God changes so many things in our lives when we realize that. And it is true. I mean, the further we put God out of our lives, the more difficult things become. That's just not something happening in our society today. That has happened to societies throughout history. And that's just a fact. And, you know, there's something grounding about the church. You know that I support, that I'm a huge supporter of the local church. I believe in have a church on every five or six blocks, because the church isn't just a place where people go on Sunday to hear a message. The church is someone, it should be a place where we put others before ourselves, where we reach out and help our neighbor. We have our pulse on the community. If someone has a loss in their family, or someone becomes ill or has a struggle, everyone knows it. And there's that. You know, the church has always been the largest contributor to needs around the world, and they still are. But it used to be so much more, even. That was why one of the reasons that years ago there was never a need for a welfare system, because the church was so much part of our fabric, and there were so many. Everybody went somewhere, or you knew someone that did, and the church did that outreach thing, and there wasn't a need. They'd help people get on their feet. They'd counsel. They'd do all the things they needed to do. well, the more the government takes over, the less, you know, and people begin to pull back, the more that we have these, I call them mega churches, and close down the community ones, there's no outreach to that community anymore. It's all about go to the venue and have a great time. And our any time that you take light away, darkness moves in. And when you take light away from our communities and our small towns, all of a sudden the corruption moves in and things start getting a lot uglier. And I really think that if we begin to start getting involved on a local level, you know, it's interesting, Scott, and I'm going to take a shift here. People think, you know, the national election for president is always a big deal. I am sure that when we finally get down to a couple of candidates for the next presidential election, there will be several shows on this program and different programs that are on this venue debating those issues. There will be same thing with Congress and different things of that nature. Do you know that things actually start changing on the very smallest local level? And that's where we have the most effective stuff we can do. Do you know, there's nothing that I can do personally, me, Steve, to change the presidential election. Can't do it. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do to change a congressional race, excuse me. But you know what's something? On a local level, school board, councilman, whatever the case, I can directly affect that. And I can work that way. And why we're not doing things in our own community. If you don't like the town of Prospect and you live there, do something about it. You know what I mean? Step up and do something about it. If you don't like the town of Richwood or any of these towns around or LaRue, get involved and do something about it. And then as you change on the smaller level, then that sets the stage for the next level up, our state representatives and those people. And that's how we change society and change things and make things more the way they should be. But everyone gets caught up in the things they can't change. The news cycles are dedicated to what we can't change. They want to direct us, but they're dedicated to it. What you and I can do is get involved locally in our neighborhood. Is your neighborhood falling down? Do something about it. Are there kids that need something in your community? Find a place for them to go. We've worked so hard in Prospect at that. You know, we have the team kid during the week, during the school year. We had a summer reading program, serve lunch to kids all year. I'm not bragging. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm saying is, if you want to make change, you have to be part of the change. If you want your kids to have a solid foundation, if you want your kids to be able to stand on their own two feet, it's a job. You got to work at it. Now, it can be an enjoyable job, but let me ask you a question. Wouldn't you rather, we talked about the fair and the prizes and all those things. When your child graduates from, say, high school and or college or whatever they do, or when they go out, it's time to go on their own. Would you rather have your child with a whole room full of ribbons and trophies that'll end up in a box and eventually in a yard sale or in a landfill? Would you rather your kids have that and just be a no backbone, no strength, no goals for the future. Expect everything to be made for them to happen because that's what's always happened before. Or do you want a child that maybe they didn't get all those things, but you know what? They can make it, and they're going to make it because they are. Which one do you want? So you got to make that decision. The first decision involves a lot of selfishness, I believe, because you want them to be wrecked, just like the social media thing. Look what my kid got, okay? Not look at their character, look who they are, you know. And you know what? Some parents do a great combination of that. I'm not begrudging parents that have their kids involved in these sports things, because some of them balance it very well, and some of the neatest kids I know do all that stuff, and they're still well-balanced. What I'm saying is, make sure that you're building a foundation with them. You know what? When they have Bible school at church and kids come together and have a great time and learn a bunch of wonderful moral lessons and things that they can use for their whole life, bring them. You know, is it really that important? Is it really that important that, you know, heck with Bible school, you just go to daddy with daddy to Cabela's tonight? You know, honestly, I mean, are we letting our kids be well-versed? I had a lady tell me one time, she said, I said her son had come to church a couple times on his own. And I said, I saw her at the post office, and I said, hey, I said, good to see him coming to church with the kids. You know, encourage him to do that. And she stopped me abruptly. And she said, I'm not shoving church down my kid's throat. But she had no trouble doing drugs right in the house in front of him. So she's shoving the drug culture down his throat. But when it came to church, I don't want to shove that down my kid's throat. Bottom line is, 2 years later, that kid overdosed and died. Now, I'm not saying that had he been in church, it would have changed, but it could have. And the point was, I'm not going to do anything positive with this child. But I'll let him. It's just like people will say this, the same thing when you ask them, you know, bring the kids to Sunday school. We don't talk about it in our family. I'll let them become an adult and make up their own mind. Well, you know what? By the time they become adult, they've been totally indoctrinated into a godless society, and they're never going to go to church.
Well, but and this predates any kind of social media, like the story I told this morning, which was absolutely a true story that we started this whole thing on about praising somebody and they end up not doing as well. Now, if I said their name and I said who they were and why they did that, even though I think I said that in a very diplomatic way and told the truth of what was said, they would be angry because you can't tell people how to live their life, even if it is wrong. I remember I had a conversation with somebody a couple months ago, and I honestly, when I was making the statement to them, I was no idea that they would think it would be rude. I just said, you know, you're getting involved in another thing here, and you seem to have a pattern. And that was pretty much what I said.
Good for you.
Yeah, but they felt that was rude.
Good for you. And here's the thing. No, you cannot tell people how to live their lives. But you can make constructive suggestions on what works and what doesn't. It's up to them to take it or not. I'm just saying that. All I'm saying is don't let it stop you from being a good enough friend and a good enough person or a good enough pastor in the pulpit to intervene and tell the truth.
Oh, no, you got to do it. I don't regret doing it.
Yeah.
But I just realized what the reaction was. The reaction is just, you're rude.
Well, you can't deal with people all the time with the thought in the back of your mind, what's their reaction going to be?
No, I think you, like I say, I think you do it, but the reaction 90% of the time is going to be, you're rude, don't tell me how to live my life.
This is why parents don't discipline their kids anymore, because they know what the reaction is going to be. And they want little Johnny to be happy. And look what's happening. You know, either spoiled children never have a very settled, good, solid life. They just don't. If they're overly spoiled, they expect to be spoiled their whole life. And the truth is that we can't be reactionary all the time and worry about reactions. Sometimes we have, once again, personal responsibility. It comes back to backbone.
No, I don't.
Am I going to be a friend or am I going to be a what?
Right. Well, no, I don't think you worry about the reaction. Like I say, I think you say it and you get the reaction you get. But 90% of the time with most people, and this comes back to something we talked about a few weeks ago, when I said I don't think people really change their personality type over the years. I think their situations change, which cause changes in their life.
We're born with a lot of that.
Right.
A lot of that's genetic.
And if they're back to cut, if they are going to be combative, because what you're really saying, when you say you're falling into a pattern, you shouldn't have done that with your kid, what they're hearing is, I made the wrong choices. I've made the, and you're telling me I make the, and now you're telling me I'm making them again. Well, they don't want to hear that. Well, say it. I agree. Say it. Don't worry about what they think about you. If they run you out of their life, that's fine. But understand that 90% of the time, that's the reaction you're going to get in today's society.
I've made plenty of wrong choices, and I thank God every day for the people that have stepped up and said, hey, Steve, hang on a minute. Look at this. And I surround myself with people, Frank being one of them. I surround myself with people that will call me out if they see me going in a path I shouldn't go. And we all, it's called an accountability partner. And I have a lot of them. And they're there for me. They're there for me in the good times and the bad times. And I think that we all could use an honest friend accountability partner, even when it comes to parenting sometimes. I don't want to get out there and tell people how to parent their kids. I was not a perfect parent. And no one is. But I over the years, I've seen a pattern. I had a young lady. We're getting close, aren't we?
About 3 minutes.
I had a young lady come up to me last night at Bible school, and she is in her, I think she's probably mid-30s by now. And she said, Pastor, she said, how do you feel about, she said, over the years, you've mentored all these kids. And you've mentored kids in Sunday school for years and years, and now you see them growing up and them having kids and their kids growing up. She says, doesn't that make you feel good about that process? And, you know, in thinking about it, yeah, I'm glad that I did what I did and I said what I said. And I may have hurt people along the way because they didn't want to hear. And I've not been right all the time. But boy, it's nice to have someone stand there and tell you, I care enough about you to tell you the truth.
Yeah, it's not. And I think maybe in hindsight, sometimes you look back on it and you say, well, that was good. Just in the moment, nobody wants to be critiqued, especially about something they can't take back. Like, you know, in my mind, this person who propped up their kid to do well at this sporting event, they might have doubt in their mind. After now knowing the ending, they might say, well, maybe I shouldn't have been so.
Think about it next time.
Yeah. But for me to tell them, now that's different.
That's different.
That's different. For them to figure it out on their own, that's okay. But I don't know that they figured it out on their own.
What about you? Don't judge me.
Yeah, don't judge me.
Don't judge me.
Yeah, and then it becomes a thing. And I find that very funny. I love the saying when somebody goes, I'm such and such an age, I'm going to do what I want. Well, what you're really saying is that you've done a lot of wrong and you don't want somebody's advice.
Right.
Well, now, what's wrong with advice? You don't always have to take it.
No, you don't.
No. But why do you have to tell me I'm blah, blah, blah years old, and I'm going to do what I want? Okay, well, you were blah, blah, blah years old when you did the wrong thing. I don't know how that turned out for you.
Ah, it's been a great talk, Scott.
It has been today.
Hey, come visit us at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. Our service times are 10:30 on Sunday morning. We have a lot of other things surrounding that, which you'll find out when you come. But we're at 10:30 on Sunday morning, and we're at 209 East Water's Community Christian Fellowship. God bless you guys.
There you go. And this show will repeat on Saturday or Sunday morning, 8:10 till 9 a.m., Wednesday and Thursday, 3 to 4. And it is on the WWGH webpage, WWGH1071.com, under Program Archives. It's the first show under there. And check Facebook within 24 hours. You will see the link to the show, and you can listen to it in its entirety. And we'll be back next week.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio.
I'm Charlie Everson. I'll be on 10 till 12 today, and welcome your phone calls. Today, I'm going to leave it up to all of you to ask questions.
Want you, who are listening today, to invest your time and energy in this radio station. I think it's an interesting experiment. We're having a lot of fun doing it. But by your support, you can possibly arrange for them to get a better heater in the studio, because we talked about this last night.
Here we go.